Appreciate you for being here tonight. And look in Leviticus chapter number 20, and to all the young ladies that just sung, you did a good job. That's wonderful. And I enjoy it. I smile, and I appreciate it. And every one of those songs you sung. And then we sung a song just a moment ago that I know that my name is written there. And, you know, Jesus told his disciples of all the things to rejoice about. The devils and the demons of hell, they were subject to whatever the disciples told them. He said, that's one thing. He said, but don't rejoice over that. He said, rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Right. And that's the one thing we can all rejoice about if we're truly saved, born again, is that our name's written in heaven. There's a lot of things I'm happy about. June the 16th of last year, my oldest boy brought a little boy, or his wife brought a little boy into the world, and I am happy about that and excited about that, having a grandchild, and I love him. He's perfect. There's nothing wrong with him, and he is a little sinner, and he'll have to get saved one day, but right now he's perfect. He don't get in trouble for nothing, and so and I rejoice about that, but I tell you, there's something greater than that, and I didn't think it could be, but that is that my name's written in heaven, knowing that one day heaven's going to be my home. And and so when you ain't got nothing to rejoice about in life and you're having a bad day or having a bad week or having a bad month, just think about what the sister just testified about, his grace and his mercy, his long-suffering, that he would write our names in heaven. Not only does he write them there, but he leaves them there. And the church I pastor, I love, and I've been there pretty much my whole life. I was born there, and then I was saved later in my 20s. And when lived a life of wickedness and sin, and then after I got saved, I went back up there, and with a new pastor, the grandson, matter of fact, of my pastor I was raised under, and that's where God would call me to preach, and God would do a work in my heart there. And but that church used to believe that you could lose your salvation. That was a doctrine they had there, and that once you were saved, you wasn't always saved. And so they believe that you could sin and lose it. But listen, I'm glad that that's not what the Bible teaches. And I'm glad that once your name's pinned down, it ain't going nowhere. And we're not trusting in us to get us to heaven. We're trusting in Him to get us to heaven, in Jesus Christ. And so if I always depended on me, I would never get there. But thank God, because of Him, we can get there. And you're going to fail Him in life. Young people, you're going to fail Him. And young families, young mamas and daddies, you're going to fail Him raising your children. I promise you that. You're going to look back one day and say, man, I wish I'd done that different, or I wish I'd done this, or I wish I hadn't have done that. And I want you to think about this. Brother Brad Williams said this several years ago, and it's always stuck with me, and you've probably heard it before. I live back in the sticks, so I don't hear a lot of quotes, all right, unless it's Charles Spurgeon. Everybody quotes him. But here's what he said. He said, as a parent tonight, you have 18 summers with them children. You think about that. 18 summers. And that's to get it right. To raise them right. Kids, you have 18 summers with your parents. To listen to them. To watch them. To learn from them. You got 18 summers. And I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you, I'm fixing to be 45 years old, and my boy is 25 years old, my oldest, 22-year-old, my middle one, and 6-year-old that and back there. I don't know whose young and that is. That boy's crazy. And so, but I'll tell you something, 18 summers went by quickly. I mean, it went by quickly. I still feel like I'm 20 years old. I don't feel like it, but I look like it, don't I? I hope so. But anyway, people see me and my oldest boy, he's big, he lifts weights and stuff like that, or he thinks he's big and lifts weights, and so they can't believe he's my boy, and I'm like, yeah, he's my boy, I'm sorry, but he is my boy, and listen, time flew, man, time has flew, and I'm thankful that he is working with our youth at our church and works alongside with us, helps us. My middle boy plays the piano. My daughter-in-law plays the piano. And in our modern day and time, it seems like all the pastors run off with the piano player. And but here's what happened in our case. The piano player I had in Burlington, where I pastored, that was Miss Rebecca, and the pastor's son got her, all right? And thank God, I kept telling them, I said, listen, I'm telling you, that's her, that's who you need. And I knew one day I was going to have a piano player, and so, and now she's our piano player. Jeremiah plays the piano, and they sing, and we got our little adopted boy, Justice. He's from Ashe County, up where we live. And most of the time, wherever I am and we are, he's with us too. And Buddy's got this little girl he's liking, and so he don't have nothing to do with me anymore. And so I hope he's watching tonight. That's why I said that. And so, but anyways, he's getting to that age now. He's getting lonely, so, or jealous one. I don't know which one it is. So look with me in Leviticus chapter number 20, and I'm going to share with you something tonight that probably ain't comfortable. This is to parents. And this is to young people. This is to all of us tonight. And I know we're emphasizing the youth, and these verses are going to emphasize the youth. But it's also going to emphasize us as parents. It's going to emphasize us as preachers and teachers or whatever you may do. And it will be a help to you. But I want you to stay with me. I'm going to do more teaching tonight than I will be preaching tomorrow night. I'm going to be dealing in the book of Daniel, and I don't want you to miss that. It's probably one of the most important things I'm going to say this week will be tomorrow night. Everything's important, but I do want to share a burden with you tomorrow night in the book of Daniel. I was going to preach it the first night, but I didn't have the green light to do that, and so I wanted to preach it tonight, and I didn't have the green light to do that, and I may not get to preach it tomorrow night. We'll just see, but Lord willing, that's what we'll do out of the book of Daniel and look at some things there and try to tie it in to where we are today. And that's what we're going to do tonight in Leviticus chapter number 20. Now, I know when you turn to Leviticus, you think of law, you think of all the thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. And that is a lot of what's in the book of Leviticus. But I want to say tonight, and though we're not under the law is still a good thing. I'm glad that the law says thou shalt not kill, all right? And because more likely I'd be dead or somebody else would be dead. And I'm glad it says thou shalt not steal. I'm thankful for the law tonight. And but I want us to look at somebody in here tonight that we're going to tie into the service and tie into where we are today in 2024. And in verse number 1, the Bible said in Leviticus 20, verse number 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, watch this, again, thou shalt say to the children of Israel, that is, God told Moses, you're leading a group of Baptists. And he said, so again, I want you to say this again, all right? And Dr. Beckham was preaching at our church 2 years ago, and in a prayer conference we were having, and he preached on Sunday night a message, tremendous message, and it sort of fell flat, you know. I don't know why it did. It just sort of fell flat, and not a lot of movement in the altar at the end of the service. Not a lot of people responded to what he preached, and we all went home. It was a good service. Don't get me wrong. He preached his heart out and did a wonderful job, and I went to the altar. You know, I needed to get some things right, and Monday night came. He got up there, and he said, I want you to turn your Bibles to Colossians 3, whatever it was, and I was like, well, that's where we were last night, you know, and he started reading the same verse again, and he got to that, and he quoted the same title again, and then he told us, he said, I'm going to preach again what I preached last night. I don't think he heard it the first time, and he preached, and son, God moved in that night, and so God is speaking through Moses here, and he said, and again, I want you to let the children of Israel know this, thou shalt say to the children of Israel, now listen, this, whosoever he be of the children of Israel or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that's anybody else, all right? And so the message that God is sending here, it's not just to Israel per se, he said, but anybody that sojourns, any strangers, anybody. So let's put Mission Hill Baptist Church in Cherry Grove Baptist Church in there. We are sojourners. We are strangers here, the Bible says. And so let's put us there. And he said, that giveth any of his seed unto Molech, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. And I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people because he hath given of his seed to Molech to defile my sanctuary, to profane my holy name. And if the people of the land do any ways hide their eyes from the man, when he giveth of his seed unto Moloch and kill him not, watch this, then I will set my face against that man and against his family and will cut him off and all that go whoring after him to commit whoredom with Moloch from among their people. In every place in these five verses, he mentions a name by the name of Moloch. And every time you see the word name or the name Moloch mentioned in the Bible, you're going to notice that God speaks of that name in some of the strongest words possible. Every time you see his name, the Bible also follows with, and that man shall be killed. And so there's something about this man. There's something about this idol. There's something about this God, if you will, that they had made by the name of Moloch that God said, I want you to keep your children away from him. I want you to keep your family away from him. He said, if you're a sojourner, you need to stay away from Moloch. If you are a stranger, you need to stay away from Moloch. If you are an Israelite, you need to stay away from Moloch. And he said, any man that takes his seed, speaking of his children, and passes them through the fire of Moloch, he said, there is consequences. There is judgment, if you will, that's going to happen to you, and I will set my face against this man and his family and cut him off and all that go whoring after him to commit whoredom with Moloch from among their people. And so 10 times in the Bible, his name is mentioned, Moloch. 8 of those times, he spells the name of M-O-L-E-C-H. 2 of the times, it's M-O-L-O-C-H. But Moloch was a statue, if you will, a lot like Nebuchadnezzar would erect that statue of himself. This is a statue of a man, of a body of a man, a head like a horse, and it was a very large brass statue that would be heated from the inside and from beneath of it. And you've probably seen pictures of Moloch, and its arms would be stretched out. And what they would do, they would bring their children to Moloch. And that's what he's talking about here and passing the seed by. And they would bring their children to this statue, to this god, to this idol named Moloch. And they would place their children upon the arms and the altar of this idol named Moloch. And the fathers would come through, the children would come through, and as you read and study about it, and I can't say a lot about it tonight because I got mad studying about it, I got upset, and I would cry and I would weep when I began to think about what parents would do with their children and why God was saying again, Moses, I want you to reiterate, I want you to retell, I want you to rehearse, I want you to reannounce everything that I've told you, that these people should never take their children nor pass them through the fires of Moloch and nor their seed or anything, whether they're strangers, whether they're sojourners, whether they're Israelites, that nobody has any business taking their children to this idol and placing them there. It was upon this idol that they would begin to heat this brass, and it would heat up from the bottom all the way up. The fire would be beneath, and these men, these idolatry worshipers would be there with drums, and they would beat the drums, and they would play the music, and it would be so loud. And the reason that they would do that was because the fathers would come, and they would take their children and literally lay them in the arms of a burning man and a burning altar and lay their children to be cooked from the outside in until they melted into nothing. And they would play those drums and beat those drums to deafen the screams and to deafen the piercing hollering of the children as they perished in the arms of Moloch. Now, I know that sounds graphic, but I'm just telling you that's what was going on in the Bible days. These families, these men would make a decision that this is the place that we're going to take our children. This is the sacrifice we're going to make with our children.
We are willing to take our children and offer them to this God and to place them in the hands of this God of Moloch, this idol that we would be promised they would be paid to do this. These families would receive money from these idolatry worshipers and these governments, and they would give them money to bring their children and bring their children. They would offer them, make them promises that you would be prosperity and you will prosper in life. You're going to have this in life and that in life, and basically get rid of your children. We'll take care of them in the next life to come. Very mystical God. A God that had a lot of promises that they could do more with their children. A God that would say that, listen, you got your life to live now. We'll give you some money. You give us your children and you go on and live your life and be happy. Your children are burdens to you. Your children are going to weigh you down. Your children ain't going to be what they need to be in life. Just go ahead and give them to us and we'll take care of them. It sounds a lot like the abortion industry today, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Sounds a lot like the world today. Give us your kids. And so when we think about Moloch this evening, we think about him that he's nothing more than an abomination. And when we see him tonight, we see the abomination of Moloch. And Moloch was a false god of the Ammonites. And I was thinking this evening, and I don't have time to preach all this, but you can go back and study this. And when you, where did Moloch come from? And where did this false god come from? And you go back and you study that Ammon was the result of an ancestral relationship that Lot had with his daughters. And if you remember the story, when Lot went to the far country, or he seen the grass green over here, and he seen Sodom. He pitched his tent towards Sodom, and he went into Sodom, and you'll learn that Lot had a love for Sodom, and he had a love for that city. He had a love for that lifestyle. He had a love for the luxuries. He had a love for everything that was going on there. Maybe he didn't like what was going on in the beginning, but he had a love, or he never would have went there. But not only did Lot have a love for Sodom, but the Bible said that while he was there, Lot began to linger. Matter of fact, that's exactly what the Bible says. And Lot lingering, he lingered there. The angels of God would come by, messengers would say, hey son, you need to get out of here, and you need to get your family, and you need to get your wife, and you need to get out of here. But God, the Bible said, but Lot lingered. That is, God was speaking to him. God was warning him. God was telling him, and again, that you need to get out of here. I'm going to destroy this thing. I'm going to burn this thing down. But Lot lingered while he was there. But not only did he linger, Lot had a loyalty that was there in that place called Sodom. You know what Lot became? He became vexed in his own soul is what he became. But he became one of those people that didn't want to offend nobody. He realized the lifestyle that was going on there probably wasn't right. He became the keeper of the gate, and he had a real position there, and so he became more loyal to that than he was Uncle Abraham, and he became more loyal to that than he was that of the Lord, and he became loyal to that lifestyle, and he became loyal to all the sin and all the lust and all the wickedness and degradation that was going on in that place. He became loyal to that lifestyle. He was just like, you know what, we can't say nothing. If I say something, somebody's going to get offended. And so he got very loyal about it. And you know the rest of the story. You see Lot's loss. They drug him out of there. God had to literally drag him out of there. And he said, when you leave, I don't want you looking back. And what did his wife do? She looked back. And what happened to the rest of his children? Well, as far as I know, they were there except for the two daughters that go with him here. And the Bible says that they go to a cave. They take with them some alcohol. I don't know where they got it from, where they brought it from, probably out of there, and brought some alcohol with them, got in a cave, got him drunk, and committed incestuary with their father. And then the next night they did the same thing again. And so we think about the abomination of Moloch this evening, that Ammon is a result of this relationship that Lot had with his daughters. And this is where Moloch come from. And so I say that to say this tonight, Mom and Daddy, it matters how you live. Listen, it matters what you're loyal to. It matters what you love. It matters in life what you linger in. It matters in life of when you hear the preaching of the Word of God and God sends the message in and the messenger in and tells and preaches something that maybe it don't sit very well and it don't sound good because you like where you are. You like what you're doing. You don't see anything wrong with it. And so you linger there a little while. You got to understand where there's lingering, there's going to be losses. And Lot lingered and Lot lost. And then sin entered into the picture when his daughters did with him the unbelievable. The abomination of Moloch. Literally, Ammon was the result of all this. The Bible said this in verse number 36 of Genesis 19 that thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. The firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab, and the same as the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger, she also bare a son and called his name Ben-Ammi, and the same is the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. Listen, the first mention of Moloch is found in Leviticus chapter number 18. And really the placement of that verse when God places it there, and you can look there with me, just flip back a page or two in verse number 18 and of chapter number 20. Is that what I said? Yeah, chapter number 18, my bad, verse number 21. And the Bible said, and thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire of Moloch, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Now stay with me. I am heading somewhere. I promise you that. Listen to me. The first time his name's ever mentioned is right there. And it's sort of weird that it's in that verse. Because the way this chapter starts out, it has nothing to do with Moloch. Matter of fact, the Bible says he starts out in this chapter, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, say unto them, I'm the Lord your God, after the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein you dwelt, say ye not do, and after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do, neither shall you walk in their ordinances. Ye shall do my judgments, keep my ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes, my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. And then God begins to proceed a whole list. As a matter of fact, it's a great detail of different sexual sins and behavior that they are to forbidden in their life. And I'm talking about from verses 6 through 18, he deals with incest marriage and incest relationships. In verse 20, he deals with adultery. In verse number 22, he deals with sodomy. In verse number 23, he deals even with bestiality, because ultimately sin will take you so far in your life that you will do things that you thought you would never do in your life. And in all of these words that God is using, in all of these things that he is dealing with in his verses, he uses the word in verse 22 to say it's an abomination. In verse number 26, 27, and 29, he said that these are abominations. In verse number 30, he said that this abominable customs, and five times he speaks of the word defile, 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 and defile, and sandwiched right in the midst of all that is that one verse, verse 21, about talking about, and do not pass your children through the fire of Moloch. He's dealing with all this stuff, and right in the middle of it all, he says, but let me tell you something else, here's Moloch. In the middle of all these abominations, in the middle of all of this wickedness, and I believe tonight, as a parent and every parent here and every young person here, that I don't think there's any here that have a desire to commit adultery with someone else, and I hope you don't, and I don't think there's anybody here that has a desire to be incest with their family, nor has a desire to be a sodomite, nor has a desire to fall in love in an immoral way with a beast or with an animal, but right in the middle of that, listen, as bad as all that is and as wicked as all that is, he said, listen, but don't pass your children by the fire. Right in the midst of it all. You see, a lot of people have no problem staying away from ancestry. They have no problem staying away from adultery and sodomy and bestiality. But this offering of my children, the power of this idol that he had over those people. God pronounced it in chapter 18. He came to Moses in chapter 20 and he said it again. Listen, I want you to tell them again. Why did he tell them again? I believe it's because there were some of them doing it. They were looking at that. They seen money. They seen free. Man, they were like, you know what? My life won't be so hard now if I give my children up. I mean, Moloch's going to take care of them. The government's going to take care of us. And they'll be better off. They won't have to live this hard life because of the promises and all that Moloch had. And so you see the abomination of Moloch. Number two, you see the apathy of Moloch. The Bible said in verse number 4, and if the people of the land do anyways hide their eyes. You see what God just said there? He said, listen, if the apathy, that is, it wasn't just the families that was coming to the altar of Moloch and laying their children in the burning arms of Moloch and watching them die. And it wasn't just, God didn't just have a problem with that. God had a problem with those that was watching it and doing nothing about it. He said, listen, he said, for those that are here, if the people of the land do anyway hide their eyes, God said, I'm going to judge you too. And what I'm saying, I'm not going to preach much on that because I'm trying to get somewhere. But can I just say this? It's time for a generation to say something. I mean, it's just time. I ain't talking about being Jesus jerks tonight. And I'm not talking about, I'm just talking about being real and being honest and being truthful. We're not here to preach, and your preacher ain't like this. And I don't worry about him, but I do worry about some folk. But listen, there ain't no gray areas in where he stands. And it's either black or white with him. I understand that. It's black or white with me. And listen, that's the way it ought to be. Listen, somebody has got to say something. Somebody has got to tell the truth. Somebody has to rehearse the truth. Somebody has to repeat the truth and let folk know what's going on in the world. And God said, if my people, if these people of the land hide their eyes, he said, listen, I'm going to visit you too. I wonder if sometimes the reason good families and good churches, they go through some hard times. Their children are going through hard times. I wonder if it's because they're hiding their eyes and they're not willing to just say something. Because they don't want to offend nobody. They don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. And I'm not a mean preacher. I promise you I'm not. I'm a very honest preacher. Matter of fact, my wife says often that I'm a little too honest sometimes. But listen, you got to be real with people. Right. You got to be real with young people. Mamas and daddies, you got to be real with your children. Young people, you got to listen. Mom and daddy says what they says and they do what they do and give rules what they give rules because there's things that they worry about. Listen, I know where I come from. I know the sins of my life. I know the failures of my life. I know where I was when I was lost. That's why I was so strict and so tight on my children on certain things that maybe Brother Mark ain't with his children and maybe you ain't with your children, but maybe in some area of your life that God brought you from, you want to keep your children away from that, and you want to hide certain things from your children in that. Listen, that's a good thing. That's an all right thing. But just because I don't do what you do and you don't do what I do, that don't make us enemies tonight. Right. Doesn't make us enemies. Right. And listen, there's just some things in life that we got to speak up about, and we got to be honest about in rearing and raising children and young people and grandchildren in our lives. And so there was an apathy that God was dealing with towards Moloch, saying that, listen, don't just sit back and say nothing. Don't just sit back and say nothing. And listen, I'm one of those people that when I preach, I pastoring a church, and I love my church. I have the greatest church in the world, but I'm just one of those people that when I see something and I feel like something's going on, I told them Sunday morning. I said, man, I'm about ready to close my Bible and just go home. It was tight, man. It was hard to preach. I couldn't preach. Choir sung wonderful, but nobody said amen except one or two people. I thought, man, what in the world's wrong? What's the hindrance? What's the problem? And then about halfway through preaching, it sort of freed up some and broke loose some, and I was happy about that. And but listen, I'll just stop and preach about it. Well, y'all ready to go home? I'm ready to go home. I'll tell you that. And what I'm saying is this. When it comes to living for God and serving God, we can't have apathy. We just got to be honest. We can't just close our eyes and pretend nothing's going on. We can't just close our eyes and just, listen, we can't just close our ears and our eyes and pretend that this month is just a normal month. No, it ain't a normal month. There's a group of people that's trying to take it over and to make Pride Month out of it, the very thing that got the devil kicked out of heaven in the first place. And what I'm saying is it's time. I ain't talking about us being haters. I ain't talking about us being killers. And I ain't talking about us being jerks. I'm talking about just being honest and saying there's some abominable things that's going on in America today that Christians have got to stand against, and Christians ought to speak up against with compassion and love in our heart and understand that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, and there is a Moloch in this day and hour that we got to warn people about. And so you deal with the abomination of Moloch. You deal with the apathy towards Moloch. But here's where I'm trying to get to tonight. You deal with the appetite of Moloch. One of the most interesting things when I read this text and all the text that mentions his name, I wish I had time to give it all to you tonight. I'm giving you something that took me 2-3 weeks to preach. Every single time that his name is mentioned, it mentions the appetite that he had. And you want me to tell you what his appetite, it's a very specific appetite. The appetite of Moloch this evening was children. It was children. Every time God warned about this idol, Moloch, he's speaking about the children that was being offered to him. The children was being taken to him. The children was being given to him. The children was running to him. The children will be being put in his arms. And that was the appetite of Moloch. The Bible said in Leviticus, again in verse 21, 18, 21, "And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire of Moloch, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord." And again, we see that his first reference here, that he loves children. Chapter number 20 in our text verse, we read the same thing, that not let the seed. 5 times he mentions that. And again, in 2 Kings 23, he said, "And he defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man might make his sons or his daughters to pass through the fire of Moloch." Jeremiah 32, he dealt with it, "And they built in the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire unto Moloch, which I commanded them not, neither came it unto my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin." Again, God deals with the appetite of Moloch. You know what he's interested in tonight, mamas, daddy? He's interested in your children. He's not just interested in teenagers. He's interested in your children, our small children back there. And young people, listen to me. You little kids, big kids, listen, the devil hates you. He's interested in you, but he hates you. He wants you tonight, but listen, he hates you. And Moloch has an appetite for the children. And I began to think about some of these things, and Moloch and in the Old Testament days, and the promises that came with Moloch, and how they could be given money, and how offering your children to Moloch was a way to get the burden of rearing and raising children off of your shoulders. It was a way to gain favor with the government. It was a way, I mean, there were so many strings attached to offering your children to this God and taking your children and laying them in the burning hands of this God by the name of Moloch. And I begin to think about that and think about 2024 of where we are today and some modern day Molochs of today in which we live. We call them different things. We don't necessarily have a statue that's reared, and we don't necessarily have the outstretched arms and a horse-headed man and a fire burning up, but we do have some modern-day Molochs in our day and time. I want to say number one tonight, and I'm not preaching political by any means, but one of the modern-day Molochs of our society is undocumented immigration, sex trafficking, child smuggling. According to 2022 estimate that was done by the Global Estimate of Modern Slavery, there was 27.6 million reported human traffic cases here in America. In 2021, of this number, 6.3 million of them were young people who were sexually exploited by their victims. 17.3 of them fell under the private sector. That is, you remember Pedophile Island a few years ago, with a man that wound up hanging himself, and or he got hung by the Clintons one. I don't know which one it was. And but that pedophile Jeffrey Epstein, and he was the private sector. He was the sector that brought these children in and would molest them. What I'm saying is this: is that there are parents today in other countries and other nations that are willing to give their children over just to get freedom, give their children over just to get a job, give their children over just to get citizenship. And I'm saying tonight, listen, I love Hispanics. Matter of fact, I eat their food tonight. And if I had to be anything else, I would be a Hispanic, all right, because I love their cooking. But at the end of the day, this undocumented immigration in America today is nothing more than a modern day Moloch. That's all it is. It's just a way to give children up. It's just another trafficking of children across the world. And we would be amazed tonight. Matter of fact, Burlington, North Carolina, where I pastored for 8 years, is one of the hot spots of children being trafficked, where they're taken and then sold out to somebody else, a modern-day Moloch. Number two, not only do we see that undocumented immigration, but I want to say that the child services and child courts is nothing more than a modern-day Moloch. This year, I received a letter from DSS in our county. And from that letter, I had been in California in a church meeting for a week, and I was out there, and I came back. Enoch was with me. He went to school. And there at Rhonda Kleeman, near where we live, and my daughter-in-law is a teacher there. It's a good school. It's just one of them country schools that are there. And but I received a letter from the DSS, and the DSS said that if he missed any more school, I was going to court. And needless to say, DSS and everybody else at school, listen, I become the black cat of everything for whatever reason, but I wrote them back a letter. And in my letter, I let them know that, number one, of what my rights are, and number two, I told them, I said, you're not going to tell me how to raise my children. You're not going to tell me I was doing ministry. The school knew we were doing ministry. The school knew exactly where we were at. My child was not left alone at home. My child was nothing, and you're not going to tell me what to do. You're not going to show me what to do. What I'm saying is children's services and child's courts are nothing more. Listen, here's what they try to do. They try to intervene in homes today, and they pull children out of those homes, and they place them in homes of pedophiles and wickedness and homosexuality and sodomites, and it's nothing more than a modern-day Moloch, the system in which we live in today. I was reading this article out in Milwaukee, and there was a children's court judge. The judge himself, he was sentenced to 9 years in a federal prison for transmitting child pornography during the COVID period of 2020. And it said less than 6 months after he was elected in that position, he was 39 years old. He was openly gay married man, a father of two children, and he had been elected the year before. He was arrested on those charges and indicted on two federal charges. And here's what the judge said that ruled over his case, and he called it sadistic treatment of toddlers, extreme victimization, and the worst of the worst. That is, that he himself, because two men can't have children, was taken from the system, children, into their home, and because he was a judge, he could do what he wanted to do, and then he was doing the unknown to them, and molesting them, and doing ungodly things to them, and the the judge that ruled over him said it was sadistic, it was wicked, it was wrong, it was the worst of the worst. And what I'm saying tonight is when it comes to children's services and child courts, it's nothing more than a modern-day Moloch. If my wife and I wanted to go into the system and adopt some more kids, which I ain't adopted any, but if we wanted to adopt some, it would be an act of Congress for us to do it. Why? Because we're conservative, we're Christians, we go to church, and we're just, you know, it's just part of it. There's a lot more other things I'll say there, but I'm not going to because I'm online. But here's what I'm saying. But you take two sodomites, and whether they're male or female, and they go into the court system and say, hey, we want kids. Listen, they can get them. It's free. They give them to them. Give them as many as they want. You know why? Because, listen, it's nothing more than a modern-day Moloch. Listen, that's his appetite tonight. His appetite is children. His appetite's children. That's what he wants. And as long as we live in a world, in a system, and operating, our government is operating in a system that doesn't care about children, that doesn't care about their identity, that doesn't care about who they are, that doesn't care about what they are, and listen, that's the way it's going to be. Not only do we see this children's services and child court, but I want to say this, that listen, I'm not trying to be mean and I ain't trying to be ugly. My kid went to kindergarten, but listen, another modern-day Moloch in our day and hour is the government schools. It is. And I understand tonight, listen, I'm not knocking it. All of my children went to public schools for a year or two, and then we homeschooled the rest of the time. But we're in a war right now. And listen, I've got teachers in my church, and they understand, they agree with me, and I don't knock them, and I'm not mad at them by any means. Listen, they're the only salt and the only light that's left in the school right now. And so what I'm saying is this, there's an agenda. It is not a liberal agenda. It's a diabolical agenda that's in the system today, and that is to grip the minds and the souls of our young people and to transition them and to change them into thinking some weird way of whatever it may be that we could spend the rest of the service talking a lot about. And what I'm saying is it's nothing more than a modern-day Moloch. Listen, our children no longer even learn. They don't even know what happened 80 years ago today. It's D-Day. And most of them will never learn that. They'll never understand what happened to the men. And they'll never understand that there were young men that were not even old enough to be in the army that lied about their age, but they loved their country and they loved God. And they said, I want to fight for my freedom. I want to fight for my family. I want to fight for this nation. And they would lie about their age, which is wrong. You shouldn't lie, but they would because they loved God and loved their country. And they gave their life so we could be free and do what it is that we do. Listen, our children will never know that. Why? Because the school system don't want them to know that. They don't want them to know of all the war and all the pain that we've went through to get to where we are today. I'm just saying the modern-day Moloch of our day and hour is the government schools. But I'm going to hone in right here, and it's probably going to get really, really quiet for a little bit. Another modern-day Moloch. Christians, non-Christians, atheists, I mean, everybody, this is going to apply to everybody. And this is probably one of the worst ones that we are offering our children to. Everybody, listen, you may not be guilty of getting rid of your children, abortion, and things like that. But another big modern-day Moloch in our day and time is social media. Social media. The glorification of sin on TikTok, Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook. I mean, all that, listen, the vulgarity. The sexuality, the predators, everything that is on there is unimaginable. Listen, the unnatural things that is before the very eyes of our children that we allow them to be part of, we allow them to have in their hands, we allow them to see. And listen, they're so vulnerable. The pastor just mentioned a moment ago, they're so pure, they're so innocent in their young ages that these social media platforms are there robbing our children of their innocency. And social media is nothing more than just an arm of Moloch that we put our children in and allow them to be sacrificed to that God and ruin their minds and ruin their hearts and ruin their lives. And listen, we open them up to a whole new world of fake reality, and it's nothing real about it. The pictures ain't real. The snapshots ain't real. The lifestyle ain't real. Listen, none of it's real. It's all fake, and it's made for you to look at and realize how bad you got it, how ugly you are, how bad your hair looks, your makeup ain't right, and your lipstick ain't right, your nose ain't right. Listen, and listen, it's all there to put an image into you and to rob you of who you are and who God made you to be in your life. And listen, and we're offering our children on the altar of Moloch through social media. Technology sort of, it ain't really new, but it is new. It keeps advancing every day, and it keeps getting bigger every day, and they really don't have a good grip yet of what the long term of this thing's going to be, though we're seeing a lot of it. Even right now, the studies have found strong links, and I'm just reading to you what science and what the world has found, that when it comes to social media and all these things, that through these studies, that there is an increased risk of depression in those who are involved in it. There's an increased risk in anxiety, loneliness, self-harm, and suicidal thoughts. Why? Because social media promotes such a negative experience in your life. You see this family over here, they've got it all, and you don't. You see the pictures of this man and this woman, man, it seems like their marriage is perfect, but yours ain't. You see this guy here, he don't have a wife, and he likes everything you say, but your husband don't. And I'm just saying, listen, you see a lifestyle through the lenses of social media, and listen, young people see that. Young people watch these guys, these younger people that make all these videos and all these reels and all this stuff that ain't even real. It's called manipulation. But they watch it and they're enamored by it. They're addicted to it and they can't put it down, and they're looking and they're desiring, and they're, man, I want to do that when I get. And what I'm saying is, it's nothing more than a modern day Moloch in their lives. When it comes to social media and the negative experiences there is that you experience, there is the inadequacy about your life and your appearance. And listen, I've got 20 pages of things right here I could read you. The things our young people see today, it makes them feel so insecure. That's what it's designed to do. What about this one? What about the fear of missing out? We call it FOMO. Social media, the addiction of it. FOMO's been around a whole lot longer than social media is, but the ideal of missing out on certain things. Listen, I'm just telling you, there's people they're afraid they somebody ain't gonna like something they say. They're afraid that they're not gonna be able to see the next thumbs up or the next heart, or they're afraid they're not gonna be able to click on this friend, or they're not gonna see what this response was. And what I'm saying is, this platform is designed and in such a way to kill your self-esteem. It triggers anxiety, it fuels you for a greater use of social media because of the fear of missing out. Some of you, when you leave tonight, well, you're going to have to get way on down the road, I can tell you that. You're going to pick that thing up and you're going to look at it and see what's going on TikTok, flip-flop, Snapchat, and all that stuff. And just see what's going on. Check everything. Make sure you didn't miss nothing. Not only did they find that there's an inadequacy that people find in their life who are hooked on social media, the fear of missing out, but there's also that of isolation. There was a study that was done at Pennsylvania, the University of Pennsylvania, that found that the use of social media increases rather than decreases the feelings of loneliness. The results of social media usage is depression, anxiety. Can I just tell you this? Human beings need face-to-face reaction, interaction. We need that. Hiding behind a screen ain't going to do you no good, young people. Putting a filter on and trying to make a dude think you look like this, it ain't going to do you no good, because y'all going to see each other face to face one day. Boys, you put the filter on and do all this because you won't hurt her like this. Listen, there's nothing better than face to face interaction. Humans need that. And we need that. We need that because of our mental health. We need that. Listen, being around people, being around the church. Man, I love church, and I look forward to getting back to church and being around our people too. But there's something about being with people that relieves me of stress. But you get on social media, son, I get mad. I mean, it stresses me out. These people that love Jesus and places they go and the things they do. I'm like, ugh! Now, my church knows, listen, if you don't want to end up in the sermon, then don't put it on social media. Matter of fact, I've got a coffee cup they gave me that said, if you don't want to end up in the preacher's sermon, you better not say it, or you better not do it, or something like that. And somebody got to say something. Listen, I'm just saying, when it comes to this, man, there's so much on social media that it's proven facts of what it's doing to young people, what it's doing to mamas and daddies, the depression, the anxiety that's going on in their life, and no prioritizing in their life. There's cyberbullying, and listen again, 10% of teens report that they're bullied in that. They're subject to offensive comments, and it's a platform for that. You're going to be bullied. Listen, there's going to be things said about you. There's going to be rumors placed about you. There's going to be lies that's told about you. And listen, and all that leaves emotional scars in your life. And what I'm saying tonight is this. Moloch is standing there with his arms out long. His appetite, we know, it's the young people. And mamas and daddies, I'm just telling you, there has to be some control on the social media that won't, listen, it's nothing more than a burning iron getting ready to burn your children. That's all it is. And listen, there's so much more we could say about all that. When I get down through here and think about, kids are going to hate me. They're going to be like, man, mom and daddy's going to make me do it. No, I'm going to preach to mom and daddy. You can, your mom and daddy, but it ain't right for you to crucify them for their time that they spend on their device when that's all you do is on your device. Maybe you've got times, maybe you've got limits, maybe you've got this, that they can be on theirs this certain amount of time a day. They can see it then, they can see it now, and they can have it at this hour, you can have it when I'm here, you can do it, whatever the case may be, but what's your limits? What's your guardrails as a parent? Because to be an example, they need to see the example. And to set an example, you got to be the one that sets the example. And listen, I'm preaching to the preacher, and I'm preaching to the pew tonight. All of us as parents, grandparents, listen, we got to be a better example of this. And I'm just telling you, we have never seen a generation that has, listen, my kid's got it all. He's got the ADD. He's got the ADHHHHHHD. I mean, you're talking about hyper. He got it. But seriously, we've never seen a generation of so many young people that's on medication. And I am not knocking it. We've never seen a generation that's dealing with depression and anxiety on the level that we see today. And the only things that have really changed is social media. social media has become the driving factor of everybody's life. And listen tonight, what I'm saying is it's important tonight to understand that Moloch is real in the modern day in which we live. And there's a lot of areas we can talk about, and I'm just telling you that social media technology is one of those things. Listen to this. I'm just going to read you a few of these. 47% of Americans admit that they're addicted to their phones. The average American checks their phone 352 times a day. Americans look at their screens once every 2 minutes and 43 seconds. 85% of America owns a smartphone. And 57% of the people, 57% of people spend 5 or more hours per day on their phones. Silence in your smartphone actually increases the use of your smartphone. Why? Because you don't hear it going off, so you're constantly checking it and seeing what's going on, what's going on. 31% of Americans, adults, say that they're constantly online. 85% say they use it every day. The age 18 to 29, the demographic, 48% of them admitted spending all day long online on their phones. 53% of Americans say that they haven't gone any longer than 24 hours without their phone. 68% of phone users, listen to me, say they take their phone to the bathroom with them. Wake up 2 times a night to check it. 90% say within 30 minutes of going to bed, they roll over and check their phone to make sure nobody's texted or nobody sent them nothing. What I'm saying is this. We got some modern-day Molochs that our children are so close to. And we got to be careful as a parent. Young people, you got to be careful understanding what that is and the power of social media, the power of technology. It can be for good. It can be for God's glory. But at the end of the day, listen, it can be a modern day when we just turn it loose and allow whatever to happen. That's the appetite of Moloch. I want to close by saying this tonight. There is an alternative to Moloch. There's an alternative to Moloch. In John chapter number 10, in verse number 10, the Bible said, "The thief, he cometh not but to steal, to kill, and destroy." That's Moloch. That's his desire. You say, "Preacher, what's the alternative to that?" Well, Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, and that you might have life more abundantly. And I want to tell you something, man, God broke my heart over this several months ago thinking about this and over the deception that's in our land and all that's going on. And listen, all these people, the sodomite crowd, the government, all this social media, mamas, and listen, they all need God. They all need a relationship with Jesus Christ. And because Satan has a plan, Satan has an idol, Satan has something for you, Satan has an alternative for you and your children that you can offer your children too and place them into his hands. But thank God that God has an alternative, and that alternative is Jesus Christ tonight. And a matter of fact, Jesus said to come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And Jesus is saying that I have far more to greater things to offer you, young people, mama and daddy. Jesus is so much better than any social media, anything about being cool. Listen, I'm here to be a daddy. I'm here to be a father. I'm here to be a pastor. I'm not here to be their best friend. I'm not here to be their buddy. At the end of the day, I want to love them and give to them and help them in life. But listen, the best thing you can give your children is Jesus Christ. Instill Jesus in their heart. Put Jesus in their heart. Put Jesus in their life. And make Jesus everything about your life, and it'll be everything about their life. And so while Satan has a plan, Moloch has a plan. Thank God there's an alternative. And Jesus says, I have a plan. You come to me. My burden's light. My yoke is easy. My life is... Listen, everything I have for you will be joy. Listen, I've never met a Christian that had to get on nerve pills for serving Jesus. Met a few pastors. But it wasn't because they were serving Jesus, because they were serving people. I'm just saying tonight, listen, serving the Lord is not grievous. Living the Christian life and singing how the songs of Zion that were just sung a moment ago by these young people, there's nothing about what they were doing that's going to cause them depression and suicidal thoughts and wondering if they're really a male and not a female. And listen, none of that's ever going to happen as long as they're sitting on the piano and playing, as long as they're on the mic and singing, as long as they're in Sunday school listening, as long as the man of God is preaching and you're behind him saying, amen, hallelujah. Glory to God. Listen, I'm just telling you, none of those things you have to worry about, because listen, Moloch has no power over Jesus. Jesus died to save all that crowd. He died to save them all. He died to save you all. And I'm thankful for that. But I'm just saying, you got to understand, as wicked and as crazy as it was in Leviticus 20 with Moloch, what the parents were doing is no different than what parents are doing in 2024. It's no different. It's just a different idol with a different name that I feel has more power than Moloch ever had. If you're trying to find acceptance in things out here, and your children's looking to be this big whatever out here, and you're letting them lean that way and go that way, and you're allowing that idol, you're pushing them into the arms of that, and you allow them freedoms, and you allow them, and listen, what's going to happen to them in life is this: they're going to be dejected and rejected by so much. But if you'll point them to Jesus, he'll never reject them. He'll never deject them. He'll never make them feel bad. He'll never make them want to kill themselves. He'll never make them want to run away from home. He'll never make them want to go over here and do something dumb. He'll just love them and lead them and guide them. But as a parent tonight, we got to be willing to get them out of the arms of Moloch. Get them away from Moloch. Don't even pass by that way. Don't go by the fire. That's what he kept saying. Don't let your seed even pass by it. Keep it away from them. We got to guard them. We got to help them. My little boy, he ain't but 6 years old. He knows more about my phone than I do. That little nerd got it yesterday, and I don't know what he did, but he turned around and showed it to me, and on my screensaver, wherever, I don't even know where my phone is, probably in the car. But I got a screensaver of all my children, of Dylan's one of them, me and Dylan, then it's me and Jeremiah on a picture, and then it's Emmett, he's sitting in a tractor tire, and then me and Enoch and my wife, and every week I change my picture, and that's who I'm praying for that week specifically in my family. And I don't know what he did, but when he showed it to me, it was rainbow, and it said pride. And I was like, give me my phone. And I didn't know what was going on. I don't even know how he'd done it and got it on there. But he found out real good and quick. That ain't going to stay on there. He's like, look, a rainbow. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to kill you. Listen, kids ain't done. They ain't done. You stick these things in front of them, they're not done. They learn how to work them. They'll get on YouTube and see things and hear things that will, I'm just telling you, it stays right here. I've had to correct him over several things that he's just heard in passing, whether if it's something on Facebook or something on YouTube or something. He hear something at school and then he come home and say it. And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. I mean, they pick up like that. And if we don't do something about it, then all we're doing is laying them in the arms of Moloch. And children, listen to me. Young people, girls, guys, listen to me. I want to be respectful in what I say, but maybe your parents give you liberty to do whatever it is you want to do. But I want to encourage you tonight to choose Jesus. Choose Jesus. Don't just take those liberties because they trust you. You can't trust yourself. You can't trust you. I can't trust me. The only thing God saved when he saved me was my soul. My flesh is not saved. Your flesh ain't saved. This corruption is going to put on incorruption one day, this mortal immortality. We'll be like him one day. But until then, we still got flesh. And I'm telling you, Moloch is standing there with his arms wide open. And again, I remind you, Moloch, the only reason he came into an existence was because of Lot's love and Lot's lingering in Sodom. The choices he made as a parent was the outcome of his children and his grandchildren. And Moloch came on the scene. Let's pray. Our Father, we love you.